We live in a world where self-respect and self-worth and self-esteem are championed. Where, in fact, everyone is a winner. It has become a trend in recent years in school competitions that children who cross the finishing line receive a prize. It doesn't matter what position they were in when they crossed the finishing line, whether they were first or last or somewhere in the middle, everyone gets a prize because everyone is worth something. And we can't have any losers. They must all be winners. Of course, there is another extreme, and that is that to view that everyone is a loser unless they win, which isn't exactly true, of course. For example, if you run in a race and you don't happen to be the person who broke the finishing line, if you come in second place, does that mean that your effort and achievement is the same as the person who comes in last? No, just because you weren't the first to cross the finishing line doesn't mean that you're the same as the person who comes in last place. Now, you may come in last place in the marathon, but you may be able to come in first place in the 100-meter sprint. You see, to a large degree, it depends on what the competition is. It depends on who else is competing in the competition. I'm sure I could win a race if I could choose my competitors. I can still beat a Jinkia to the end of the garden, but it won't be long before I'll no longer be able to do that. We can become obsessed with winning and have an unhealthy attitude towards those who do not achieve the same degree of success. We can become proud in our abilities. And we can disparage anyone who isn't really competition for us, who doesn't give us a run for our money, as the saying goes. Now, does it matter whether our lives are characterized by pride or its opposite, humility? Proverbs would say, yes, it does matter. And it would say, yes, it matters for three reasons. It matters because of what others think of us. It matters because of what it does to us. And it matters because of what God says about it. Now, those reasons obviously move from the lesser to the greater, and that's what I want, the way I want to approach this theme. Pride or humility, does it matter? As we look at the book of Proverbs this evening, does it matter whether I have a proud attitude about the things that I do, about the life that I live, about the achievements that I have made? Or should I be humble about these things? Well, in the first place, Proverbs says that, yes, it does matter because of what others think. You see, people look at the way you respond to your circumstances. They look at the kind of person you are, and they'll relate to you on the basis of what they see and what they hear. Now here's what Proverbs 21 and verse 24 says about the proud person. Scoffer is the name of the arrogant, haughty man who acts with arrogant pride. That's what people think of this man. This man who's always boasting about his achievements. What do people think of him? He's a scoffer. They don't like him. He keeps bragging. People don't like that. Chapter 25 and verse 27 says, "It is not good to eat much honey, nor is it glorious to seek one's own glory." I'm not entirely sure what the connection is between those two phrases. And in fact, the second part of that proverb is difficult to translate and difficult to understand. But if we take it simply at face value on the basis of the way the ESV translators have given it to us, it isn't glorious to seek one's own glory. We can understand the idea that's being conveyed. Someone who's always boasting about their own achievements soon wears out their welcome among other people. We don't like boasters. We don't like braggers. We don't like those who are constantly advertising themselves. It becomes distasteful. The proud and arrogant person then actually hinders his relationship with other people because of his attitude. Chapter 25 and verses 6 and 7 says, "Do not put yourself forward in the king's presence or stand in the place of the great, for it is better to be told, 'Come up here,' than to be put lower in the presence of a noble." Here's the picture. There's a great banquet that has been laid. And the king obviously will sit at the head of the table. And those who have the greatest prominence in his kingdom will sit next to him. And so on, it will go down to the least of the guests who are invited, who will sit furthest from the king. And someone walks into this great banqueting room, and they walk right down the length of the table to its head, and they sit themselves down next to the king with this attitude of, "This is where I am worth. This is the point that I have come to in my life, and this is naturally where I ought to be seated." This is the attitude of this person. And the writer of Proverbs says, don't put yourself forward. It's better to be told, "Come up here," than to be put lower. The king turns to this man, says to him, "What are you doing there? Your name isn't by this chair. Move down. This place is for another." Indeed, Jesus himself talks in these terms. And the humiliation, of course, for a person who lives like that. Better to be humble and to take a lower place and be asked by the king, "Move up closer, come nearer to me." You see, people recognize humility, right and proper humility, and it gets rewarded. People want to know such a person. They want to know a man who achieves but doesn't boast about it. They want to know a man who is successful, but is humble about it. Who doesn't boast and parade themselves. That kind of attitude draws us closer. We feel almost as though we can relate to such a person. You see, pride and humility matters because of what others think of us. But in the second place, pride and humility matter because of what they do to us. What happens in our lives as a result? What direction our lives take from an attitude of pride or an attitude of humility? In chapter 11 of Proverbs and verse 2, we're told that when pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with the humble is wisdom. It tells us that the pride leads to disaster. We've already observed the way that people respond to a proud, arrogant man. He's a scoffer. He's undesirable. We don't want his company. But this verse introduces us to a theme in Proverbs regarding pride and humility that is very important for us to grasp. For example, in chapter 18 and verse 12, we have a contrast again. Before destruction, a man's heart is haughty. But humility comes before honour. This is the wedding feast scene all over again. The banquet that the king has arranged. Here is a haughty man who's gone up to the head of the table. And it brings destruction to him. The humble man sits at the foot of the table, but he's honoured as he is brought up. Chapter 29 and verse 23 again takes this further. In the first part, one's pride will bring him low. But he who is lowly in spirit will obtain honour. And chapter 22 and verse 4. The reward for humility and fear of the Lord is riches and honour and life. What are they saying to us? Well, what they're saying essentially is that the pride prevents the person from learning. Well, humility opens a person to counsel. We see this contrast again in chapter 16 and verse 18. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Over against chapter 15 and verse 33, the fear of the Lord is instruction in wisdom, and humility comes before honour. What we find in the book of Proverbs is this constant idea that those who think they know it all will ultimately destroy themselves. While those who are humble and are willing to learn from others, no matter how great their own achievements may be, no matter how wise they may already be, they will become still wiser. Chapter 9 and verses 7 through 9 say almost this very thing. Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse, and he who reproves the wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer, he will hate you, but reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. You see, a humble man, a wise man, and we've already observed that wisdom and humility walk hand in hand together. A wise man, a humble man, is a teachable man. He recognizes he has room to grow. He doesn't know it all. He hasn't achieved it all. There's more to learn, more development, more maturing. Whereas the scoffer thinks that no one else has anything to teach him. You seek to correct him, advise him, he'll hate you. He may even turn against you and abuse you. Pride leads to disgrace and destruction because it closes the door to further growth and maturing. Chapter 12 and verse 15 tells us that the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. He thinks he knows it, but a wise man listens to advice. And so it matters whether we are proud or humble. It matters because of what others think of us. It matters because of what it does to us. Pride destroys us. Humility brings honour and wisdom to us. But thirdly, and most importantly, pride or humility matter because of what God says. So, what does God say? Well, in chapter 21 and verse 4, he makes no bones about what he thinks. Haughty eyes and a proud heart, the lamp of the wicked, are sin. Pride is sin. Simple as that. But Proverbs has more to say about God's attitude to pride than the simple blank statement that it is sin. In chapter 6 and verse 17, we're told, among the six things that the Lord hates, the seven that are an abomination to him, the very first is haughty eyes. Pride. Yes, pride is sin. And God hates it. It's one of the greatest evils in the world. Why is that? Well, it's partly because it is such an affront to God himself. You see, pride, a proud man, takes all the credit for his achievements when he could do nothing unless God in the first place gave him the ability and enabled him to do what he's done. But there's no acknowledgement, you see, of God. There's no glory given to God. He basks in his own glory, and he takes to himself the credit that should go to the Creator. pride flies in the face of God's own character also. God, who has every reason to boast about all his achievements, humbles himself in order to save us from our failures. In chapter 16 and verse 5, the book of Proverbs re-emphasizes God's hatred of sin, of pride, when it says there, "Everyone who is arrogant in heart is an abomination to the Lord." But look what else it says. "Be assured, he will not go unpunished." Pride is sin. Pride is a sin that God hates, that God abhors, among the greatest of the sins. And a proud, arrogant person will be punished by God for his pride, for his arrogance. Indeed, chapter 15 and verse 25 goes further than that even and tells us the Lord tears down the house of the proud. God works against the proud. He is actively working towards the humiliation of the proud. And in contrast, he maintains the widow's boundaries. The widow in the Old Testament was a symbol of the downtrodden and the helpless. They had no husband to care for them, to provide for them, and to secure the inheritance that belonged to them. And time again, in the Psalms, for example, we come across phrases with regard to justice for the poor. Well, God says, "I am working on behalf of the poor. I work on behalf of the humble. As actively as I work against the proud and arrogant for their self-sufficiency and their unwillingness to acknowledge me, I so actively work for the humble, maintaining them, helping them." God is against the proud, and he is for the humble. Indeed, Jesus makes this very plain in his opening words for the Sermon on the Mount that's recorded for us in Matthew chapter 5. He says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The Beatitudes are God's pronouncement of blessing upon the humble. These words are encouragement to the humble, because God is working for them in all of these different ways to comfort them, to provide for them, to show mercy to them. And these are the ones who shall see God. These are the ones who will be called sons of God. These are the ones who will inherit from God. And these are the ones to whom the kingdom of heaven belongs. The humble. And so it doesn't surprise us then that the book of Proverbs encourages people to walk in humility, where humility first and foremost is described as a right relationship with God, such as in Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 5 and 7. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding, contrary to what the proud person does. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. In other words, walk in humility. Or to use the words of the Apostle Paul, written to the church in Philippi. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Be like Jesus. Be humble. Even when it means that the people walk all over you, take advantage of you, be humble. For God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And in another place we're told that God exalts. He lifts the humble up, even as he lifted Christ up and made him Lord over all. So those who humbly imitate the character of Christ can expect to sit beside him on thrones in heaven, to rule over the new creation. Jesus, who is the personification of wisdom, is also presented to us as the example of humility. Indeed, to walk humbly before God is wisdom.